talking about the fact that God had a master plan for the church. Even before the creation of the world, God knew that, as Paul said, in the fullness of time, that the mystery would be revealed, that the Jews and the Gentiles would be reconciled together into the body of Christ. God had that plan. Old Testament prophets prophesied that the day would come, as Joel said, in Jerusalem, when the church would be established. The Lord, God sent His Son, and the Lord came, lived, and died that death upon the cross, after having made the promise in Matthew 16:18 that He was going to build His church. In Acts 20 and verse 28, we are told that the Lord purchased His church with His own blood. We find on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2 that the church came into existence. And there in verse 47 of Acts 2, you find the word church used in the present tense for the first time. But now let me emphasize one thing. It is the church and not a church. I want you to understand that right from the start. The Lord promised to build His church, the church. Now, in Ephesians 4 and verse 4, let's go back to Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. There He said that the body is the church. Then when you go to Ephesians 4 and verse 4, we're told that there is one body. So, brethren, I don't know how that you can come up with all of the confusion that exists in the world today in regard to the subject of the church. But even worse yet, I apologize tonight for even having to preach the lessons that we're going to preach over the coming Sunday nights for a while, and I don't know exactly how many. But I apologize that I would even have to preach a series of lessons on the subject of the church. And what I mean by that is issues and problems and division in the very body of Christ among the elect of God. No preacher should ever have to preach lessons that deal with a lack of unity in the Lord's church. But unfortunately, there is division, and there are many issues tonight that confront the very elect of God. Not by the will of God, not by the teachings of God's Word. There is no way tonight that we can point a finger of blame at God. We cannot put the blame on His Word. All of the problems come back to the feet of man. And there is so much confusion tonight in the Lord's church. And brethren, that simply ought not to be. James made a statement to me before services started tonight. He said, when you see a sign that says the Church of Christ meets here, that ought to be enough. And it should be. But unfortunately, It is not. Because, just because a sign is there that says that the Lord's church meets in that building does not guarantee that you will be exposed to the truth and that those brethren are following the truth. Now, I understand tonight that this is a very emotional subject. It's emotional in a lot of families. Because, sadly, it separates a lot of families. Where you have part of a family that accepts what the Bible emphatically lays out in regard to the subject of the church. And then you have those of that same family that believe something different to that, and it causes problems even in the physical family. This is a subject that you simply cannot talk to a lot of people about. They're dead set on what they believe. And you simply cannot communicate with them in regard to what the Bible says. And it ought not be that way. I have a sinus drainage, so you're going to have to bear with me, and I'll do the best I can. Let's begin in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. There it is. All God's people should speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Isn't that beautiful? And brethren, that's the Lord's plan. That's what Paul wanted. That we all be of the same mind, of the same judgment, perfectly joined together, defending the gospel of Christ, trying to save lost souls, and going forth in doing the work of the Lord. But let's be honest tonight. Such is not the case. We are not perfectly joined together. We're not of the same mind, and we're not of the same judgment. And therein lies the problem. Now let me say this. There is no way that I can touch on all the things tonight. So you're going to have to give me some time. And we will work toward dealing with as many of these things as we can. But I emphatically submit to you tonight that division is unacceptable in the sight of God. There's no ifs, ands, and buts about it. I will go to my grave defending that statement right there. Division is unacceptable in the sight of God. That is not what the Lord died for. That is not what He brought into existence. That is not the way that He intended for His children to follow Him, to worship Him, and to be of the same mind and of the same judgment. Open your Bible, the 17th chapter, the book of John. We're going to look at three verses. This, to me, is the plea for unity on the part of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Look what He says in verse 11. And now, I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to Thee, Holy Father. Keep through Thine own name those whom Thou hast given Me, that they may be one as we are. He's talking about God's children, that they may be one as we are. All right? Look at 21 and 22. That they all may be one, as Thou, Father, art in Me, and I in Thee. That they also may be one in Us, that the world may believe that Thou hast sent Me. See what He said? That they all may be one in Us. Do you believe that God and the Lord are perfectly joined together? Yes. The Lord came to do God's will, and He did. There was no lack of unity between God the Father and Christ the Son. All right, look at 22. And the glory which Thou gavest Me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. One. Singular. The church, and we make up that one body. And well, I think probably I ought to say this. Understand that this is a matter of authority. It's authority. When you study in Ephesians 5, you find that Christ is the head of the church, even as the husband is the head of the wife. All right? If that be true, and it is, the Lord said that God gave Him all authority in the church. And so, accepting that, what we need to understand is that everything about the church, the worship, the work, what constitutes our responsibility, God's Word is going to give us, because it is the inspired Word of God, with the intent of making us all one in Christ and in God. Now, we agree on that, don't we? That is the intent. There is not unity in the Lord's church today. There's not unity. Now, let me make a quick side point right here. Just because there is not unity in the universal church does not mean that a local congregation cannot have unity. And here again, I believe in every local congregation that God intends for that unity to exist among the brethren. There must be unity at Village Creek. And that is completely separate and apart from what we're going to talk about in this lesson. But we need to understand that. Unity. That brethren are united. So many brethren have lost sight of truth and have taken the Lord's church into areas that it has no business being involved in. Now, preacher, how can you stand up there and say that? Well, it's very simple. The Bible didn't take the church into a lot of the things that we're going to talk about tonight. The Bible didn't take it there. So who did? It had to have been man. It had to have been brethren. Those that were supposed to be defenders of the truth, of God's authority, of the Lord's authority. And yet, this has happened. This has happened. one of the key elements in what we're going to emphasize throughout these lessons, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it tonight, but we will. And that is the subject of money. Money. When the command was given in 1 Corinthians 16:2, that we lay by in store upon the first day of the week as we have been prospered, as we did this morning, and if you didn't have opportunity this morning, you'll have it again tonight. But once that money leaves your hand and goes into the offering plate, it goes into the Lord's treasury. And let me tell you something about that money. That is a horse of a different color. Now, and we're going to talk about this in time to come, but I want to just lay the groundwork tonight, and I'm afraid I'm going to get tied down here, and this is going to be lengthy, but there is a major difference between how you use your money, what you can do with your money, and what we can do with the Lord's money. Therein lies the problem. Therein lies the problem. In regard to many of the things that cause issues in the church. It's money. How the Lord's money is used. All right? The social gospel is very popular today with many brethren because they make the church responsible for entertaining their family. Social gospel. And you know what, brethren? That's appealing to a lot of people. It is. In the society that we live in today, the social gospel is very appealing. And that's why that some of our brethren today have done what they've done. Because it's popular. It's appealing. And it draws people. Because of the services that are offered in that particular group of people. Alright? The Lord's church is not in the entertainment business. And I will go to my grave saying that. The Lord did not come and die, shed His blood to purchase His church, bring it into existence in order to entertain men and women. It's not the purpose, brethren. And I don't understand why that brethren are so naive in regard to that statement. It's one thing to be a member of some organization that was founded for entertainment. Not the church. Not the church. Well, what's wrong with entertainment? That's not the church's responsibility. We're going to talk about that. The Lord's church is to save lost souls. Now, you understand that? The primary responsibility of the church is to save lost souls. That's why God sent His Son. That's why the statement is made that the Lord came to save His people from their sins. That's why that He died for us while we were yet sinners. Is to save us. Now you see the difference between saving a soul and entertaining a soul. I suggest to you tonight that if the church is in the entertainment business, then once the entertainment stops, what happens? What happens to those people that you have attracted, that you have brought into the building, that maybe you have converted? Did you convert them for the right reason? And do they not understand that most of the time, if you have to bribe somebody to get them to become a child of God, have you saved their soul? That's what would lay heavy on my mind if I were a preacher today in some of these so-called churches of Christ. I would be scared to death that we're not converting people for the right reason. We're not using the one weapon that God has given us, and that is the sword of the Spirit, as talked about in Ephesians 6, and that is the Word of God. Hebrew writer said, it is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. That's our weapon. That's how we convert people. And if we do it any other way, then we're missing the concept of what the Lord came to do. Look in Romans 14 and verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. It's not meat and drink. It's not a social thing. It's a spiritual thing. Righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. There it is. You see the difference between meat and drink and what he talks about in regard to righteousness and peace and joy. Completely different. Romans 16, 18. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Paul couldn't have made it any plainer. He said they have lost sight of serving their Lord. And they have become involved in things that God never intended in His master plan to ever take place in regard to the church. And here's the sad part. The latter part of that verse. Think with me tonight. How many people have been deceived into believing a lie about where they attend services? About what the responsibility of the church is? About the work of the church? About how you use the Lord's money? It's a shame, pure and simple. The head of the church sent the apostles out into the world to evangelize and save the lost. You know what I have often thought about, and I must admit to you tonight, that when I first became a Christian, and in those early years when all of these problems were popping up in the church, I was very confused. I did not understand a lot of the things that I needed to understand about the church and what the Lord's expectations were for the church and His people. And it took study, took time, for me to finally get this all sorted out in my mind. And you know, I must say tonight that it is easy for a smooth talker with good words and fair speeches to deceive the hearts of the simple. Because a lot of these things that are advocated today sound so good. Well, surely there can't be anything wrong with that. If it is not authorized in the Word of God, it's wrong. And the thing that I have often thought about, when the Lord sent the apostles out on the Great Commission, He told them to go and save the lost. If there was more of a mission of the church, why didn't He tell them? In the book of Acts, when Paul was going from congregation to congregation, why did He not advocate? Why do we not see record of many of the things that we see today in the Lord's church? Why? And yet there is not a hint of it. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. There it is. That was their charge. And that's what they did. And brethren, I suggest to you tonight that that is our charge as a congregation of God's people, is to save lost souls. How? With the truth. With the truth. Nothing more, nothing less than the truth. And when we lose sight of that, then we're losing sight of God's will, and we are usurping the Lord's authority. And we can't do that. The social gospel takes the Lord's money, builds gymnasiums, kitchens, life centers, all without the Lord's approval. That's what I'm talking about in regard to the money. There are three things that the New Testament authorizes for the use of the Lord's money: evangelism, edification, and taking care of its own needy. Now, I'm not going to give you book, chapter, and verse tonight because that's not our intent in this lesson, but we will. We will. That is the work of the church: evangelism, edification, and caring for its own needy. And yet, our brethren take the Lord's money and they build a gymnasium. Why do you need a gymnasium to convert lost souls? Why do you need that? Why do you need a kitchen to convert lost souls? Why do you need that? Why do you need a life center that offers all of these services today? That are not the responsibility of the church. The church was not given the means whereby to be all things to all people. Can't do it. It doesn't have the income. It doesn't have the means. It's not the American Red Cross. The church is a spiritual body that is intended to govern the spiritual lives of God's people. And to allow us a means to worship the Lord in spirit and according to truth. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. John 4 and verse 24. You see, that's the only way you'll work in the sight of God. There is not a thread of authority to show us using the Lord's money for such. Now let me say this, and here again I'm getting the cart before the horse, because we're going to talk about this in a later lesson. As far as helping orphans, if you want to take money out of your pocket and do whatever, that's your business. That's your business. And I understand that James 1 and verse 27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. You know who that's talking to? It's not talking to the church. That's individual responsibility. See, plain and simple, it is individual responsibility. And if you choose to take your money and as an individual help a widow, help the fatherless, that's your business. That's your business. But now, when it comes to the Lord's money, then we're talking about something different. And I can prove that to you. In fact, in Acts 5, in regard to Ananias and Sapphira, you know why they got in trouble? Because they lied that they had given all of their money when they hadn't. And they didn't have to. They didn't have to. As long as the money was theirs, they could do with it as they so chose. And we can too. But now once it leaves our hand, goes into this treasury, and brethren, this is not the elders' money. It's not the deacon's money. It's not the preacher's money. It's the Lord's money. It's the Lord's treasury. And we are bound, as God-fearing men and women trying to go to heaven, to use that money in the right way by the authority of our Lord. But evidently, we've got a lot of people that have not decided that. Look in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 22. I never will forget, several years ago, I had a discussion with a young man whose father was an elder in a congregation that did a lot of things that I think are inappropriate. And in the course of our discussion, I said, what are you going to do about 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 22? He said, what's it say? I said, what, have you not houses to eat and drink in? Or despise you the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. And then, 11:34, and if any man's hungry, let him eat at home, that you come not together unto condemnation. He said, I have never heard those verses. Never. I said, well, wait, think about it. Well, he said, I don't know. I'll have to think about it, maybe talk to my dad about it. There's the problem. Too many today cannot just accept what the Bible says. Plain and simple. God expects us to understand what the responsibility of the church is, and to conduct the local church the way God intends. And by the way, here again, I'm getting ahead of myself. Churches are not tied together. Each congregation stands on its own. And there's wisdom in that. That's the wisdom of God. If there would be a problem at 13th and Main, and we were tied to 13th and Main, then we'd have a problem here at Village Creek. But we're not. We all stand on our own. And you see the wisdom of God in that. God never intended, there's not a sign of authority for elders to take the oversight of anything else other than their local congregation. That's it. The elders here at Village Creek can't tell Northside and Jonesboro what they can and cannot do. It's not the responsibility of these elders. God expects for each congregation to stand on its own, to do its own work to the best of its ability. And a lot of our brethren have lost sight of that. Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who man earthly things, not spiritual things, earthly things. What's their end? Destruction. Who are you talking about? He said, anyone that gets the physical and the spiritual confused and loses sight of what the church is intended to do. The church is a spiritual relationship and not physical. You understand that? Have you ever taken the time to study the Word of God to understand that there is a major difference between the physical and the spiritual? Major difference. We are not of this world, brethren. We're just passing through. We're sojourners, we're pilgrims, and we're headed to a better place. That's heaven. That's why the church was established, to give us the means whereby to get us home to heaven. And you can't get there worshiping the Lord in a manner that is unacceptable in His sight. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. The social gospel tries to put the church doing somebody else's job. Parents, whose job is it to entertain your family? Yours? Not the church's. Not the church's job to entertain my children, my family. The church was never designed to do that. Now, we have a responsibility to edify one another, but that is far different than trying to put the church in a position of taking the Lord's money and building these things that are unacceptable in the sight of God. Parents' responsibility for entertaining their families and not the church. Not the church. Many want the church to be all things for everybody. If they have a need, if they have a desire, they want the responsibility to leave them and to fall solely upon the church. Well, the only thing wrong with that is that it is the responsibility of parents to tend to their own families. It is the responsibility of the church to tend to the lost souls of men and women. Once you leave the truth, there is no stopping point to where you can go. I don't know if any of you have ever tried to do any irrigating in a garden or anything like that. But you put up a dike to hold the water where you want it. You let a break come in that dike. And you let the water begin to trickle through. And it's not going to stay small. It's going to continue to grow. And it's going to grow. And it's going to grow. That's what's happened in the Lord's church. When all of these things started, I don't think that anybody ever thought that it would reach the point that it has today. But that's what happens when you leave the truth. It's amazing to me today how that brethren look at other congregations, and you've got some brethren that are doing some things, and you've got other brethren that are doing even more. And these that have somewhat left the truth, they look over here and they say, oh, those brethren are doing things they shouldn't do. What about you? And it almost has reached the point to where there are several divisions among those that have decided that they can leave the truth. That's sad. Sad. And here again, let me say this. I take no pleasure in presenting this series of lessons. No pleasure. And I don't do it with the intent of hurting anybody's feelings, but to simply arrive at truth. That's my responsibility, and that's your responsibility. Well, we've said enough. We went a little bit over time tonight, and I apologize for that. But sometimes it's hard to find a stopping point. If you're in the audience tonight, you have never obeyed the gospel of Christ. You're not a child of God. Then it makes no difference what you believe or what you practice. Because you're not right from the beginning inside of God. If you have obeyed and gone back into the world, then here again, the only thing that you can do is to come back and pray that the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. If you're subject, will you come as we stand and as we sing?